Cardinal Peter Turkson, can you explain, first of all, why the decision to focus this year on educating young people in particular in justice and peace?
Because it's crucial, because they belong to society, because they're the future of society, because they're the future of humanity and all of that. And for that, if there's anything at all, it's worth investing in the future. It's worth investing in the future for what the future holds for, you know, for all of us, for all of humanity. So it is true that the theme of the youth has been addressed before in several ways, in these same messages, you know, of peace. Past editions have dealt also with the youth.
Is it fair to say, though, that it was inspired in a certain sense by the events that have taken place over the past year, the young people who were so much at the heart of the popular protests in North Africa, the Arab countries?
You know, this protest in the Arab countries started at the beginning of this year. But the decision about the choice of this topic took place already last year. Okay, so it was not immediately provoked by what we saw happening. But it was already, you know, a kind of a discerned need that was already present, you know, last year. So that's where it's coming from. What is happening this year just goes to confirm, okay, the wisdom that the Holy Father had, you know, in settling on such a theme. And it's not even only the Holy Father who's talking about this. Here in Italy, for example, the message of the president at the beginning of the year paid quite a bit of attention also to the youth, even to the point of affirming that if a country cannot properly take care of its youth, then it's a kind of a betrayal, you know, of its youth and all of that. So the issue of the youth, I think, is something that concerns all populations. And as you probably know, when you look at statistics, the youth not simply, you know, considered as the group between, you know, 60 and 30 or whatever type of them. But if you talk about the population in the lower spectrum, then it's something that is very, you know, alarming. The, you know, steeply dropping, you know, birth rates and all of that, to the point that, you know, statisticians would say that when all of this falls below 2.8 or something, then a population or a civilization is no more sustainable. If that were true, then several civilizations in Europe would be considered, you know, unsustainable. But that's not why we exist for. You know, we don't plan to face ourselves out of any scene. So thinking and concern or any attempt to stop even to reflect a little bit about the youth, it's an attempt to reflect about your own future, you know, and that's a very valid exercise, a very valid thing to do. So our thing this time was not just think about the youth, but think about the youth in these two essential components of, you know, pursuit of justice and peace.
The message contains a very deep reflection, doesn't it, on the profound spiritual meaning of freedom, of justice, of peace.
Definitely.
And yet it's also a very practical call to action to politicians, to educators, teachers, and to parents.
Definitely. Because, you know, like I was saying, education, it can be seen in so very many ways. To take you one instance, it's last year, the message of last year when the Pope had to reflect about creation, he introduced an expression which has become very popular and current. He talked about intergenerational solidarity. Okay, just mean that the past and the present in a way, you know, need to meet. And education in a way is an exercise, a project of intergenerational solidarity. In solidarity, the past prepares for the future, okay? And then in solidarity, the future responds to the past, and the present moderates this. So the intergenerational solidarity term is a very crucial term. We've talked about solidarity in so very many ways, but it's also good to look at this intergenerational solidarity. Another way of looking at education is passing on a manual of life. Some have also seen education that way, that it's a passing on, transmission, passing on of a manual of life. It just means that, you know, life does not automatically succeed. Life needs to be trained, needs to be prepared if it is to succeed. When life is just left by itself, without nurturing, without any coaching, whatever, it does not automatically succeed. So that's to explain why there's the need for education. That's to explain why there's the need for formation of all different kinds, because life automatically does not succeed.
It's about forming the younger generation with the wisdom of the past. It's,
you know,
also
open to them. Again, the, you know, wisdom of the past doesn't also have to close us in a box. The young can also teach the old.
Exactly. So, can you give us any practical examples of this that you've seen, perhaps even in your home country, Ghana, or elsewhere in Africa, real examples where young people are helping to shape, to form, to reform even within the church and in society in these areas of justice and peace?
Yeah, you know, basically helping young people respond to their roles in society is one of these challenges. In a traditional society like ours, when one is being brought up in society, the idea is that he's been prepared to fit certain definite roles and then carry out some tasks in society with view to maintaining the society, ensuring that the society, goes on. So everybody is meant to perform a role. So the challenge is always there. Now, when it comes to the tendency, of course, is that they all say, we've always done it this way, and it's not been that way. And that's where the young come in with the technology, with education and growth. Okay, in the days of Thomas Edison, we didn't believe that you could, electrons could provide us light. It's happening now. So is it also particularly in the places where certain shrine and fetish, cults tend to also to impede certain advancement in admission of culture, admission of growth, admission of invention, admission of development. They tend to stymie all kinds of development, and normally it is the youth who, through the education and experience, are exposed to some of this. They live like on the frontier, on the horizon, the frontier of all of these new technologies and new development. And it is they who are best placed to make suggestions also to the old.
I'm Damien Böselager, and I'm an intern to the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace to see basically what they're doing and how they do it. And it's
your
impressive.
Particular interest is the financial side of the justice and peace work, isn't it?
It's everything connected to economic systems, basically, and to the social questions which arise. So,
This Peace Day message addressed to young people with a real focus on the input that young people can have in the work of justice and peace today. What's your reaction to that, first of all?
When I first read the text, I was actually very, very happy because I really felt that somebody or some institution is trying to understand what really moves young people and why they are on the street at the moment and what is like the positive side about it. So it's a very nice approach to look at the positive attitude that is conveyed by people who really want to change things. And now in this case, it's the young people who are on the streets.
Trying to understand, as you say, it's not easy to understand always, is it, the motives and the many different reasons why people, young people, are out on the streets protesting in the States, in Europe, or indeed across the Arab world and North Africa?
I think it's the big problem of many journalists that they ask questions like, okay, what do you want? What do you really want? Why are you in the street? And people say, we cannot give you an answer because we have no hierarchy. So there's no one answer. We all have our different answers and we're just here. So I think it can be very depressing if you don't really know why they're there and what they want. And I think it's nice to just acknowledge that people try to participate again and that they want to change something and they don't know like how to change it and they don't know the real answer, but they want to express that they are not happy with the system, that they see the injustice which is taking place and that they want to promote justice in a way, yes.
The Pope talks about the enthusiasm and the vitality that can teach something to the older generations in the church particularly.
I think especially Pope Benedict is really interested in listening to the young people. And even in the beginning, some people said, he will not be to the World Youth Day, he will not come, and I don't know what, because he's not John Paul II. But I think in his way, he is really interested to know what's going on. And this message is another sign that the church really appreciates young people and that it really wants to listen to them and that it wants to get the influence. So maybe there can be some new ways to do that, but I think there are many young groups in the church and many very active groups, and that's very good.
Were there particular paragraphs, particular aspects of the message that struck you in a very personal way or not?
Yeah, I think I would probably name two. The first one was the one that basically tried to explain that there's a struggle for young people to unite the idealism they have with the reality. And that sometimes, like, I felt very naive because I thought, do you see all this injustice and you can't do anything and maybe I just have to grow up and get used to it, and this message really shows you, no, you don't have to get used to it. Promote your message, put it forward, and maybe you can change things that way. And do it with patience, but do it. And that's, like, the key message I really liked. And the other one was about the problems that young people have, and they're probably mainly two problems that I like that they are acknowledged. And the first is that it's very hard to find a job and build a family, because it is very hard to find a job and build a family, especially because now in many jobs you need international experience and you have to travel very far and you have to see different places, different things. And it's very hard to keep a relationship going. And I know like a lot of people who have been in deep trouble because of that, because they wanted to diversify, but at the same time, like, commit themselves. So it's hard.
So it's a choice between a relationship or a job.
Yeah, I think for many people it's as simple as that. Yeah. And the second problem is about the responsibility. It's quite hard to tell young people at the moment that they have to take a responsibility and that they have to participate. And even if I just said that a lot of young people are now trying to participate more and take the political responsibility, I think there are many young people as well who need maybe to get this message, to take action in politics and also for their own life. Yes.